Hello, everyone. Welcome to BBSRadio.com. You're listening to the show called Between Two Worlds, and I'm your host, psychic medium Derek White Skycloud. It is, well, let's put it this way, getting close to Christmas blues. Everybody calls it the Christmas blues right now. It's December 19th. It's a Tuesday. My God, it's getting so quick. You know, people used to always complain, saying, well, you know, when Christmas comes, it comes. Well, guess what? It's here. And things are about to happen, and I'm sure a lot of you right now still haven't got your Christmas gifts yet, because I've asked a few of my friends, said, have you guys got any shopping done yet? No, I've been too busy, or I haven't had a chance to do it, so sometimes you're going to have people that call the last-minute shoppers. Oh, my God. I'll tell you one thing. When I just got back, I went to go pick up a couple of videos for myself and went to a small mini mall, and this place was just packed. In the early parts of the afternoon, people are not even out of work, done work yet. These are just regular people that are, you know, people that are either self-employed or mothers that are, you know, living at home, don't work too often, but they actually are out there shopping for their family and stuff and get prepared for the weekend. And for the weekend, I tell you, it's getting to be monotonous. It's pretty wild because I've never seen so many people banging on their steering wheels and trying to get a parking spot. And if that person starts pulling out, somebody else just cuts you right up and gets in that parking spot. It's absolutely hilarious. I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, I can't believe this. And something actually happened is it's totally phenomenal. I mean, I didn't think it ever would happen where we are because, basically, we live in British Columbia. And there's a place called Surrey in British Columbia. And we went to this mall, big mall that my wife and I went to just to go do some shopping. And we saw two people literally get out of the car and beat the living crap out of each other in the middle of the parking lot. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was actually shocked. Fighting for a parking spot just to go Christmas shopping. I was like, I can't believe this is actually weird and wild. But anyway, to let you all know that we're going to have open lines, but at the same time, I want to share a little story with you before I start. It's called the Christmas Holiday Stress. And, you know, I want to share this with you, if everybody else know out there. I'm sure you've dealt with this before. But you know what? Here we go again. Presents to buy, work to finish up, cards to write, plans to make, events and parties to attend, and all those things we must do because we've always done them. Does this sound familiar? Well, do you go to sleep at night with the feeling that you are hopelessly behind schedule, yet have made good use, overuse of your time? Do you experience even a small measure of dread as you approach this season and a large measure of relief when it's all over? Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. And most importantly, you are savoring any of the lovely sights, sounds, and smells and the feelings that are unique to this time of year. Or are you just too tired and rushed to even notice? If this describes you, you're probably suffering from holiday stress. Holiday season can bring on the stress with increased financial pressures, workloads, and holiday expectations. And some people dread the experience because their inner experience is so different from what is being hyped by media. How do you know that your stress is even coming into distress? Well, distress is hard to define, and it means different things to different people. And it's clear to we refer to distress as a negative feeling, not as a positive one. Stress is a natural part of life. Positive stress can be motivating, giving you energy and direction. However, family expressions such as, I am so stressed out about the holidays, and I'm under too much stress, referred to as negative stress throughout our lives, which can be physical, mental, or both, and can sometimes turn to tears. Stress becomes distress when it accompanies the feeling of being out of control or feeling overwhelmed. Each person handles stress differently. A major life decision might be overwhelming for some people, while others may welcome the change. And some may find waiting in the holiday shopping traffic too much to tolerate, while others take it in stride. The key is determining your personal tolerance, which is patience. It levels for stress and trying to live within those limits. Trust your own instincts and don't try to be you what you're not. It doesn't matter. You don't have to please everybody. Learn to accept or change stressful situations. whenever possible to prevent stress. If you can do that, then you can work from stress to mental fitness. Now, I mean, basically what I'm saying is mental fitness. Mental fitness. Most of us understand the steps required for physical fitness, but can you take steps to mental fitness too? And here's a hint. Stick to the family traditions. What means most to you and your children? You don't have to change for the next door neighbor or your office parties. For example, what my wife does, she will actually does baking, a lot of baking for people that she desires to give baking to, because homemade goods are just as good as buying somebody a pair of socks. I'm sure a lot of people really do appreciate socks. But work on the homemade ideas, and it all comes from the heart and not Martha Stewart. Have everyone pitch in on the holidays, and not just yourself alone. Get your husband off the TV and put up the lights. Help bake and shop. It doesn't have to get stressful. Get everyone in on it. Christmas holidays is about family and not about you trying to keep everybody happy and worrying about the receiver liking or disliking their gift. If you're not too sure, don't give them one. It doesn't mean that you don't like them. It means you don't know them that well. And the next time, next year, ask what you would like to get. Or ask them what they would like to get. If it's too expensive, beyond your means, then don't feel guilty. Get them a bag of coal. Tell them that you're the ghost of Christmas past and decide to get them something to warm them up with. They can throw them on the barbecue. You'll always have a hot meal. And don't let your emotions get bottled up inside. In the meantime, keep your stress levels to a minimum. And not to try about the gifts. You give it all has to come from the heart. Some people decide to go on vacation for Christmas, and it gives them an excuse by not giving everyone a gift. Isn't this what we call a Christmas holiday? Don't live beyond your means. And we didn't have Christmas, you'd be saving a lot of money. So don't let Christmas spoil your happiness in your household. And don't let stress overcome and overtake Christmas. Let the Christ take over your heart and pray for those who don't have. Half the world does not know what Christmas is, and they don't stress over the gift that wasn't given. They worry about the family they can keep together. So don't lose yourself in the crowd. Just think of others who don't have and appreciate what you do have, and there is no more stress. So from now on until New Year's, relax and enjoy what's left of 2006. It'll be gone before you know it, because you only have about 5 days. Now, what I find important in Christmas is when I was a kid, my father used to always give me the responsibility to put up the tree. My sister and I put up a tree, put up the Christmas ornaments, and do the whole nine yards. That's what we called Christmas. I remember Christmas so well when we were kids. And that we did a lot of baked goods. That's what I remember about Christmas when I was young. We didn't have as many things. And, you know, here's something that the little kids today, you're going to say, well, I want this, I want this, I want this for Christmas. Not everybody has the money for it. But what's really important is family coming together. You know, we're almost like that movie, Christmas Vacation, that, you know, the family, what all the husband wanted to do was have all the family come together just for one moment. And yet the man of the household wanted to put up all the lights and make himself look as if he's bigger than all can be because he wanted to keep the family happy and also make the neighborhood look good. Well, he did what he could do, but he decided to because he loved to do it. One thing you learn about Christmas, and a lot of people talk about it, and I talked about this last week, Christmas is about not a specific religion. It's a celebration of family coming together. It's a celebration to actually have friends, loved ones, and making peace. That's what Christmas is all about. It has nothing to do about a Christmas tree. A Christmas tree has nothing really has any meaning, really, but what it does, it's just a bit of a, it's an item. It's an idle item. And an idle item is just saying that we're putting things on a tree, we're decorating it up, it represents a Christmas to us. Because it was represented by a European family who started that. Christmas started way back during the Russian, in this Russian time, where there was St. Nicholas. This is many, 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 many years ago. So there was a St. Nicholas, and there was even back into France, which even was a St. Nicholas. There's so many people who have actually believed that it really was a St. Nicholas who actually gave gifts to people, especially children who are good, and especially orphan children. And if they were misbehaving, they did get a coal, a piece of coal in the hand to put into their hands, because it was to keep them warm. They would take that coal and they put it into the fireplace. And they would gather together into one room and they took that piece of coal and that kept them warm. And that's what they learned to appreciate, was being warm in a home and yet taken care of and well loved. That's what mostly Christmas was about back in those years. But today now it's gone very advertising, hugely advertised. But I mean, it's been going like this for years. And it'll go like this for the rest of our generations. But I find it's important is to enjoy what we do. Anyways, as I said before at the very beginning, I work as a psychic medium, and I'm going to have open the lines. Anyone wishes to call in for a complimentary read, I'm also offering the service of anybody who is actually a professional medium who wants to ask a question from me as well, because a medium to medium does not make us any better. We're just equals. And sometimes, once in a while, a medium, a psychic, and a healer, and an astrologer, and other people like that out there are always curious about where their lives are going. Doesn't mean that you are not too sure where you don't know to go, or if you feel that you don't really want to know, it's up to you. But I do offer my services open lines. And, you know, who was I here? We do have a chat line, by the way, and that's available on BBS Radio. We actually have, it's just started, it was introduced to us just recently, just last few days ago, so I'm just getting it, see if I can get it started here. And where are we here? Going to that now. No, it's not first I checked. Find it. Oh, lost it somewhere. Anyways, I have open lines. The phone numbers are toll-free, and this is for the people from the U.S. It's toll-free, 877-876-5227. And from Canada is 888-810-8322. And also with our direct line long distance, which is international, it's 530-876-3222. And here's the chat room. I knew I'd find it somewhere. It's brand new. Something exciting to look forward to. It's good to have that because you can actually communicate back and forth. And so it's a good thing to do. It's a lot of fun. You can chat back and forth. Anybody has any questions? Sometimes people don't like to make a long-distance call, so they'll just send a chat line. All you have to do for to be onto the My Chat, basically if you go into the dobbs.com, bbsradio.com, you go under the phone number listed under, and under there is the BBS Radio chat, says My Chat, and you click on that banner, and you open up, and you register yourself in there. It's free, it doesn't cost anything, and you put in your name, username, and your password, and you're in. And then you can set up you can edit your profile or whichever you prefer to do, and it lets people know that you are online. You can chat back and forth. Good thing to have. Anyways, it's Christmas is getting close. I know very well there may not be that many people calling in for this coming week or like the next couple of weeks. I don't mind. I like to chat it up with the rest of the world anyways. There are people that like to listen. But like we said before, in the field and basically in the work that I do, I do a lot of classes. I teach in my home. I teach advanced mediumship And the advanced classes, it's not as much, I guess you'd say, the word advanced. It's more anybody who wishes to increase their skills, to further their skills even more. Because sometimes we feel like, you know, as a reader ourselves or healers ourselves, we've always had curiosity thinking, oh, well, what do you think? What would happen? How can I make any choices? How can I make any changes? How can I increase or improve my skills? And yet we don't have anybody to turn to. And a lot of times we don't. If we do, we do have a lot of spiritualist churches that are available. We have people that actually run classes and teach out of there. There's a lot of local spiritualist churches all across the world. I know there is quite a few in the United States. If we want to go on to the Google search engine, you can actually look under the word spiritualist churches in the United States, or any spiritualist churches in the United Kingdom, or spiritual churches in other parts of the world, or even Canada. You will find them locally somewhere near. That'll help. I believe we have a caller.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing, Derek?
Good.
It's your good friend up here.
Oh, I sound like Barb.
That's who it is.
Hey, Barb, how's it going?
I would phone in and tell you that I agree with you. We don't need to stress ourselves at Christmas.
No, we don't.
Just enjoy it, and it's a good time to get together with friends and family and just enjoy ourselves.
It's a good thing to do. I've actually been hearing it so much from people now. I talk to people on the phone, and everything I hear is like, oh, I don't know what to get them for a gift, or it's so busy out there right now, and people get claustrophobic.
Yeah.
My wife gets
claustrophobic. Well, the best stuff, like you say, is the homemade stuff. We just took the stuff into our doctors and has walked in with the home girl goodies or the candies that I make, and said, oh, is that what I think it is? So he looks for it year to year.
Well, Barb, your mom baked for you, didn't she, for Christmas?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You basically think about it. You sit back and think what it tasted like, what your mom made. It will never compare to what we actually do ourselves. We try to.
Oh, heaven.
We never can be the same. It's always our mother.
I can remember my one aunt, her cinnamon rolls were to die for.
Oh.
And
now
I'm
you're talking.
I am a good cook, but I can't duplicate those cinnamon rolls.
They just somehow knew how to do them. And
yeah.
You know, the cinnamon rolls you see in the store, they're not the same. They're
Oh, heavens no. Not Christmas morning. Without homemade cinnamon rolls, it isn't Christmas at all.
No. Definitely. Or my mom,
yeah.
She was famous for her pumpkin pies.
Yeah, there you go. See, and boy, you just can taste those in your mouth right now.
Oh, definitely. You want to eat the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just keep up the good work there, Derek, and I'll get back and listen to you and let somebody else get through. But they shouldn't be shy. I know there's a lot of people sitting out there listening to you and get nervous about phoning in. But
they do.
You don't bite. I know that.
No, I don't bite. I live.
No,
I won't bite. But
no, and you're not cranky, so
no.
They just phone in.
No,
okay,
I have a lot of fun doing
it. Have a good Christmas.
Okay, Barb. You take
care. Bye-bye.
Something else that people always do at times, too, is they have forgotten what the word Merry Christmas means. You know, like they don't use those words anymore. And I've been hearing this a lot from people out there, and they're calling it a fundamental religious problem or religious, you know what, get over it, guys. You know, Christmas is Christmas. It's not going to change. We can't change it. You can't change an old dog. We were raised this way with it. People have to grow with us this way. We can't please everybody. I mean, it's been like this for generations, and we can work together. It doesn't mean we have to hate each other and say, well, I can't let this person celebrate Christmas anymore. I think what I was a little bit disturbed when I actually read the newspaper the other day, where the parliament, our parliamentary government, had the audacity to move the Christmas tree to the back door, to the back of the hall, instead of in the front of the hall, in front of the entrance, because they were afraid that they would insult someone coming in the door seeing a Christmas tree. And I thought, you know, guys, get over it. You cannot please everybody. You can put a Christmas tree in a back door. If you take the Christmas tree down, you take the Christmas lights down, you might as well get rid of Christ, and you might as well stop using religion, because basically somebody's going to try and make you go their direction because they think you're insulting them. We're not insulting anyone. Wherever you're led to go to any direction, to any belief system in your heart, is up to you. You call free will. The government has no right to tell you what you can or cannot do by religious means or fundamental means. You make the choices yourself. If we want to talk about celebrating Christmas, that's exactly what I'm going to say, because I'm going to tell people Merry Christmas, not just Happy Holidays. I'm not going to worry what people think. And there are people out there, out in this world today, agree. They will agree, because they notice a lot of changes have been made. Yes, the Bible has been removed from the courthouses, and I've noticed that. Because, again, they're considering it as a religious belief system, and people out there, the non-religious, and I don't like to get into the political sense of it, not necessary. But what's important is if you become a truth, walking your truth, believing in yourself, wanting to help others incredibly, and always do this every day, not always just for one year, one time a year, every day, and help others and help assist for those who are in need, homelessness, people who actually are homeless. Last year, I worked with 150 foster kids handing out Christmas gifts, including with their foster parents. And I was the big elf, and we had a good friend of mine who was the Santa. And I was working under Métis Family Services because I was a counselor there. My heart was so full. I felt so good. I felt so, it's so different. You had tears running down your face because you know you did something for these foster kids because their moms and dads could not be with them anymore. Some of them because life was harder than these children. And sometimes some of those moms and dads could not have these kids. That's why they have foster care parents to take care of them until sometimes these kids will one day go back to their real true parent. But the fact is, that's part of the homelessness. The other people out there in the rest of this world are also homeless. I mean, I watch my people out the street. They're struggling, you know? But this every race is out the street and struggling. There's homelessness all around. The thing is that you just don't give somebody a nickel one time of the year, one quarter, $1, $2, $5, one time of the year. If you've got something to burn, instead of gambling it, give it to somebody else. Help them with it. If you want to use a lottery ticket and you want to throw in $10, take part of that $10, make a $5, put that $5 in somebody else's pocket that actually can use it for a $5 bill. That's important. Because there are people out there that are struggling in need of help. Instead of having to support a military government and take away things from take the food off the table from people here that don't have, and support a military government should be reversed. It should be given to people with food on the table first. We have plenty of money that goes around. Right now, a lot of people are in dire straits in different parts of the world, but it's been like this for generation after generation after generation. It is not just the first time. It's not just the one time. I remember years ago when someone came up with the name UNICEF, and it came on television many years ago, back in the early 60s, 1960s, I watched it on television. I was like 10, 11 years old. And they said, give to UNICEF. Give to people, the kids that don't have this. You know, just 25 cents will get them a bowl of soup or get them a little bit of food in their stomach. That bowl of rice, whatever they have. That 25 cents went a long way. And they figured within about 20 years, they would have caught up to the point that people would not be starving in this particular third world country. That's 1960s. This is 2007, going to be 2007, and there are people still there starving in the very same country. UNICEF is still doing the same kind of work. There are other nonprofit organizations that are raising monies, you know, your Salvation Armies, your food programs, your food banks. All this is important. We've got some extra spare food sitting in the cupboard. We're not even eating it. if the kids don't like broccoli, and it's frozen in the bag, or if they don't like certain kinds of macaroni, then don't leave it in the cupboard. Take it out. Give it to someone who's homeless. That food is important, to go to someone who actually needs it. I've seen families where they didn't have any food on the table. That doesn't mean the mother wasn't trying to get a job. She may have 2 or 3 kids. Her husband may have abandoned her. Or her husband cannot get a job because he's either overly educated or not educated enough. He may not have as much education as he used to have. The school system has changed. You know, they don't just make you learn. They just don't care sometimes. They just flip you right through. And then I've met some young kids today, 15, 16, 17 years of age. They've already finished school. Some of them haven't even finished school. They don't even know how to spell their own name because the school system, again, has not tried to help them. And they'll say, well, you know, we tried. No, he didn't try. I watched it. There's so many things out there that we struggle with. There's so many things out there we need to learn to appreciate. And I thank God that I am who I am. And I thank God in my own world that I got a roof over my head. And I got food on my plate. And I have a wonderful wife. And I have wonderful kids. I'm not perfect. I never had a perfect relationship with my first wife in relationship. I'm not perfect. But I like to speak my mind and let the people know that it's important that we need to help heal the world. We need to help to heal the people. We don't have to leave our country to go feed somebody all the time. We have people that are starving here too. We had about 30,000 Canada geese destroyed here in Canada, here in Vancouver, a couple years back. 30,000 Canada geese destroyed. Not because of a disease, never was. It's because the public, whoever it was they called the public, the tourists, complained that it was too messy with feces all over the ground in a park. If you're going to destroy 30,000 geese, why didn't you just capture them and kill them and to make a food product out of them and sell them to the public who are homeless, who don't have food? They're not diseased. A wild animal is far more cleaner, and the meat is far more better for you than is actually all obtained. But society itself feels they have to destroy something because they call it a nuisance. Well, the human being is not a nuisance either. We have to learn not to destroy our fellow neighbors from across the world. And the thing is, that's important. Christmas is a time for peace as well. And so is life. We need to come sit down once in a while. We should sit down with ourselves and relax and enjoy life to the fullest. Make the best of it. Not to worry about what's going to happen next. Anyways, sometimes I get caught up in some of my stuff. I get caught up in part of my... I start watching some of these news medias, and they always talk about 70-80% of catastrophes that actually have happened, and then maybe 20% of good things. I think what the media needs to do sometimes is make it equal, 50-50, or even 60-40, the better side of it. More better things that people have done, not always just catastrophes that people have actually lost their lives. Yes, it's important to know that, but we need to balance that instead of having to hype it up maybe more and say to keep more sadness in people's lives. We need to bring in the happiness into our lives so we can actually have some goal for each other and with each other to make that work, make our lives work, a goal. That's important. The Christmas is going to be a goal. Christmas is a goal for the moms and dads. They've always wanted things to happen. Now, there is also one person I want to acknowledge, too. A young lady by the name of Theda Miller, who I've asked a couple of years back, when I did my radio show on 1410 CFUN on the AM in Vancouver, I asked her if I can use her song, her beautiful voice, to be my introduction, my introducing song, and Theda wrote back and she said she'd be honored. Ever since then, I've played Zeta's music on my radio show as an intro. And everyone, I've actually got a lot of emails from people and phone calls and saying, whose voice is that? And even when I go on to the Pal Talk and I get people to go to my website, because we're always communicating back and forth, and when they get to my website, say, whose voice is that? They've never heard that before. They said it sounds like a voice of an angel. Her name is Theda Miller, and she's got a beautiful voice. She's totally phenomenal. I recommend you to go to her site, and if you ever want to buy any of her music, she's like another Anya, another Loretta McKennett. She's got a beautiful voice. But she's got a website called www.thedamiller.com, thedamiller.com. And she's got some sample songs on her webpage. But if you're interested in her CDs, she will send them over to you. They're absolutely phenomenal. And Dawn, our producer, and owner of the Dawn and Doug, both are producer and directors and owners of the bbsradio.com, are just totally in awe of her song, because it makes you feel very, very comforting. And that's what we find is important. When I heard Theda's song, her voice, I went, I got to use that song on my radio show. It's totally important. And it does. It's very, very enchanting. The song is called Suspended. It's one of the ones that I use it in mostly as an intro song, and she's got a few others as well. So I've been playing the odd one as an intro, but the main one on my webpage, if you go to my webpage, is www.whiteskycloud.com, whiteskycloud.com. When you go to my webpage, you will hear the song automatically coming on. And some people out there who may not be able to get it, all be able to hear the song all the time, because some of you actually may have dial-up. So not to fret, not to worry, but if you desire to listen to the sample of it, or if you're able to get to her page, it would be wonderful to listen to my page. You'll get to listen to her voice. And also, another young lady that I enjoyed listening to, she used to be my son's girlfriend, but they both split up, sad. But Jessica Bruin is also a very wonderful singer. I'm waiting for her to get back to me again and to listen to her program. I'm waiting for her, some of her CDs to come out. But she's got a beautiful voice. She has a voice like Patsy Cline, which is absolutely phenomenal. 30 years old. Both these women are both 31. Jessica's 30, and I think is 30 or 31. So, but anyways, I wanted to share that support for both of them. And anyone who wishes to send me an email to let me know what to think of the show, I would like to, always like to listen to or look forward to hearing from you and reply back to you. Also, I'm doing some tours across and in some parts of Canada right now. I've been busy working up north of British Columbia and going in towards Alberta and around the middle part of Canada. And I go mostly to Slave Lake, Alberta, which is about 3 hours northwest of Edmonton. So I've been going up there quite often. I've never gone out to one place in so many times, but I've been having a fabulous time up there. So I'm looking forward to heading back there again. I do a lot of healing work everywhere. So if anybody who's actually interested and want me to come up to any tours with them or for them, let me know. Also, we are working on... I'm also working on doing some promotions of video. That'll be coming out down the road, and I'm working on doing a promotion to do a TV series. So that's coming up sometime soon, probably for 2007. I've actually had some people I've been talking to lately, so I'm hoping that will start. It's actually based on the paranormal investigating. It's all to do with ghost hunting. I call ghost hunting myself, because if anybody says, well, I'm just a paranormal investigator, some people don't know what a paranormal investigator is. So basically, we're called ghost hunters. We're looking forward to see the truth and fact that there actually is someone in spirit who does exist in the house or a location or a building and or on ground, and if there is or isn't. But we do it in a very, you know, like a very similar scientific way as well, because you want to find out if it really does happen. As well as also, if anybody else wants, again, if you folks want to go to my website, you'll see I also have photographs of spirits. I got 4 pages of them, of individual photographs of all kinds of spiritual orbs, spirits, different lines and squiggles, and you name it, I got them there. And I also have offered my service to help support other paranormal investigators too across the world, across the United States. I put a couple pieces up there to help support them too, because we all need to work together to help each other and give each other guidance as well. So there's a lot of that. That a lot of this happens in the journey. It has been a very busy week for all of us, sure, and that's why a lot of people may not be at home right now, and some people are out just listening to the show. And I'd like to thank Barb for calling in. Now, Barb, here's one thing about Barb. She actually has, I'm not sure if some of you all know this, but Barbara Leonard, Reverend Barbara Leonard, she's a Reverend minister, a good friend, and she actually has her own online spirit chapel here on BBS Radio on Sundays at 12 o'clock. And I recommend everybody to listen in. Sometimes if you're unable to get to church, you can always listen in to Barb, and she can share her wisdom with you. And you can be doing your church service while listening on the Internet. And it's absolutely fabulous. It's one of the first ones ever brought in to help support anyone who needs assistance on the spiritual level of it. Barb is also a professional medium, and she's been doing it for quite a lot of years. I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable, but over 40 years. What else I got here? I'm lost for words, some parts. My computer went down. It crashed this afternoon, and before I got started here, so I was trying to get things all ready to go again. Yeah, where was I? One thing. Oh, yeah, right. Now, right. As of 2007, I'll be going on what you call a North American tour, and it's based on a grieving program. Yeah, I'll be working with 4 other mediums. And not just mediums, but also healers and support program directors. We'll be doing a tour going into the States. I'll be going to Seattle and other places across the United States as well as Canada. And so I think our first tour will be in Seattle, if I understand it. I could be wrong. I got to check my schedule again. We're actually doing this tour. That's coming up in 2007. That's going to be around the later part of the year of 2007. I would say by next 2007, this year, it'll be really busy for me to make contact with a lot of people and to do more workshops again and do more presentations. We have a call. Who do I have here listening, calling in? Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Who am I talking to?
Dale.
Oh, hi. All you got is hi. How you doing?
So good. You didn't expect me to call, did you?
No.
Didn't I just gonna turn the sound down?
Well, you think I'm psychic or what?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I can talk to you on the phone. I realize, and even with my dial-up, I can still listen to you.
Oh, good.
It didn't cut me off.
Good.
Yeah. Anyways, so I heard you on the air, so are you on the air now?
I'm on the air right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really enjoying it. I heard a little bit of the talk with Barbara, and then because that my dial-up had cut me off.
Oh, yeah.
And so I got back in and
was... Do you get, in your dial-up, are you able to listen to the whole show through, or does it cut you off?
Well, it now tells me that I'm out.
So, it tells that you're out, okay.
Yeah, so I'd have to go back in, dial back up and to get back in.
Wow.
So anybody out there who's on dial-up, you know, they know what a pain it is, so...
Yeah, that's a bit of a difficulty. I was just talking to... I was over at a... internet store where there's guys that actually sell parts and stuff, and I was telling about the dial-ups, and the guys are telling me that dial-ups will be a thing of the past the next couple of years, and I said no, because there's a lot of people up there that I know in certain areas, even including the Kootenays and where you are still on dial-up.
Well,
you know, they think that you guys won't have dial-up in the next couple of years.
Well, I think as long as they've got the mountains, like where I live in British Columbia, you know, they're going to have difficulties. But they'll find a way around it.
Oh, yeah. They'll probably cut the mountain in half.
Yeah.
Put a tower in it or something.
Just blow the mountains up. Anyways, so I've enjoyed listening.
Sure.
And, yeah, you were talking about I don't know if
did you listen to the Christmas Holiday Distress?
Yeah, I heard that part, and then of course I got cut off, and then I came back on when Barbara was on. But you know, it's funny because Dale has been setting up his Christmas train, his garden train,
in the
addition we built, and it looks really neat in there. He's decorating and stuff.
So have you done all your Christmas shopping?
Oh sure, of course.
Yeah.
I'm retired. What else have I got to do?
Have you met anybody else that hasn't got their Christmas shopping done?
Oh, probably. Anyways, I was going to tell you about this little child next door visiting her Nana. There's three of the kids. And Dale calls out, oh, come and look and see what Santa brought me. So she yells out, we don't believe in Santa.
Oh, really?
So I thought, oh, okay. So
Where was this? Next
well, they came over. Well, yeah, they came over. They were visiting their Nana, and they came over and looked, and they were enthralled with the train set up. Then I explained to her, you know, about St. Nicholas, and even though, you know, there's not a real Santa Claus as they promote him, there was St. Nicholas that lived, 800,000 years ago, who was very kind to children and brought presents to children.
Uh-huh.
So I said to her, we just... remember this kind man, you know, at Christmas time with the presents to the children. So she said, okay.
That's good.
So I don't know if it helped or not, but, you know.
Well, a lot of kids don't realize, or even the parents don't realize, there actually was a St. Nicholas.
That's what I was saying,
exist.
Yeah, and
he actually
and
came
we...
from the from Russia. And I believe, if I'm there correctly, I could be wrong, but I think it's Russian, and there was a St. Nicholas, and then again, there was another man who called himself, I don't know where the word Santa Claus or Klaus, but that came from France. And they actually celebrated, St. Nick in France, which was, again, like you said, about 700-800 years ago.
Yeah, and I think he's from Holland as well, and they couldn't pronounce the way the Dutch called him, and so they started calling him Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And I gleaned that through the Riel news that we received this month.
Yeah.
From the Vancouver Métis Association. So.
Yeah, because they changed the name, or they even changed his outfit, because he was wearing a long furs right down to his feet because it was cold in winters, and he didn't really have a complete full sleigh of 8 reindeer at first. He only had 2, I believe, 1 or 2 that were pulling him.
And then it went from, I don't know where the eight tiny reindeer came in, but actually they were caribou was what they were.
Yeah.
Pulling on his sleigh. That did exist. He did have a big bag of toys. And again, parts of it was actually coal as well, because sometimes kids were thought that if they were not good, he would give them a piece of coal.
Mm-hmm.
But they were gifts for kids. And I remember that.
I think really the legend of Santa Claus came from all countries.
Oh, yeah.
Like little bits in here. It's just like, you know, our belief systems, you know, our spiritual belief systems.
Yeah.
You know, it comes, little bits of information come from all over the world on, you know, on who the creator is and you know, the different spiritual paths and that. And if you, you know, look at them seriously, they blend in quite nicely.
Well, one thing I've actually found in the difference between the Santa Claus is actually also if I remember correctly, somebody in England celebrated a king in England, in the UK. It was based on a Santa Claus celebration. Apparently, the Santa Claus started in 1773, and as A. Claus, like Saint A. Claus. So it wasn't really Santa Claus, but Saint A. Claus, like S-T, period, A, like, say, Adam Claus, but Saint A. Claus. And that's where it came in, like you said, Washington. That's where Saint Nicholas, Dutch.
Yeah, but there's different stories to the legend, which makes it interesting when you look back, you know, at the different countries and through time how it's evolved into our present day Santa Claus.
The funny thing I get a kick is when you talk about the North Pole, because I'm not sure if there was a North Pole. I think because they're talking about, I think their version of North Pole was Russia. It was really cold up there.
Well, maybe as close as we're going to get. Except for maybe a Inuvik or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, Derek, are you there?
Yeah,
I really enjoyed listening, and best to you and to your wife this season.
Well, thank you.
Okay, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, so I'll make sure you say hi to the big guy, Santa Claus.
I will. He hasn't played that for a while, but it doesn't mean he won't ever.
Yeah.
So.
He'll have to shave his face again.
Yeah. Then I have to get used to living with a different man.
Well, you realize, give him about another, 20 years, and he will look like Santa Claus.
Yeah, he may do.
You know, let the beard grow, and he'll be busy all the time.
Yeah, and hair. Well, his hair's not getting white yet, but
no.
In 20 years it may do.
Well, it takes the Métis longer to get white hair.
I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll talk to you later.
Okay, you take care. Have a good Christmas.
All right, blessings to you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah. It's interesting how they talk about Santa Claus and the myth, the history of it. There's so many pieces of information about Santa Claus. It's absolutely phenomenal. They talk about it here. That's and all that. There's somebody calling in.
Yes.
What is your name and where are you from?
Steve, and I'm from Vancouver.
Oh, hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. Hey.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Derek?
Good, good.
Good. So I'm listening to this. It's pre-recorded.
Oh, okay. Is it pre-recorded? No.
No. Well, I'm listening to you right now.
Oh, good. What do you think of the show so far?
What's that?
What do you think of the show so far?
Oh, it's good. It's good.
Good.
It's good. Yeah, I just wanted to give you a shout. I saw the number up there. I thought I'd give you a call.
Cool. Now, which Steve do I know this one is?
Kosis.
Oh, you're the photographer?
That's right.
Oh, man, we need to get together. We were talking. Remember, we were talking about doing television.
That's right.
Okay. Well, there's somebody who's interested in us doing this. So, and you got to come over. We got to take a look at that video.
Yeah, I know. I got to get together. I just had so much going on.
Yeah.
We had a bit of a tree. You know that storm we had last week.
Oh, how'd you do over there?
Well, we were very lucky because we actually had two trees come down on our property.
Wow.
And one big one that I hadn't really even thought of that it would even come down. It didn't even dawn on me. I thought the roots went down really deep. And 3:30 in the morning, the power goes out, and all of a sudden, we're just kind of restless, half sleeping, half not. And then all of a sudden, we hear this boom, and this tree lands right between two houses, between ours and the neighbor's house. But like literally, I measured it today. It landed exactly 8 feet from both houses, just exactly in the middle. And it was just damaged the gutter on the neighbor's house. And we had the other one go over, and it just broke the stair railing on the back porch. But we were incredibly, incredibly lucky. And it's so weird because, like, I think it was about 2 or 3 days before, kept having this thing in my head that it was, I kept seeing a tree hitting the house.
Uh-huh.
And it just, and I kept saying, why am I seeing this? Just go away. I don't want to even see this anymore.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on the couch watching TV, and you know, it kept coming back, and I just said, I don't know. So I was already being warned that was going to happen. But
yeah, you're being warned not to sit in the living room.
Oh, my God, you know. And then there's supposed to be another terrible storm tomorrow again, or at least somewhat of a storm. So.
Well, apparently it's supposed to start around first thing around lunchtime tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
At about 30, 40 mile an hour winds, and then I guess before the evening or by late afternoon, it's supposed to begin 80, 90 kilometers. So we're looking again at a high wind. They're hoping that doesn't last that long, but if you know Stanley Park.
Yeah.
I watched the news yesterday, and I can't believe they actually lost, I thought, about 1,000 trees. That many went down.
Wow, yeah.
Had a park, and Stanley Park is very famous in D.C., in Vancouver.
Well, they say that it that people that'll be visiting there this summer, spring and summer, aren't going to recognize certain parts, so it must have been hit pretty hard.
I'll tell you one thing, Steve. You know, there have been so many radio shows, especially, for example, as an example, Art Bell, Coast to Coast Radio, and other radio shows. We've always talked about, you know, how things are going to change for the next
mm-hmm.
couple of years, that we're going to have the most outrageous windstorms and rains, snowstorms and cold weather and hot weather, and how things are going to change for everybody. And, you know, they always talk about the shifting.
Right.
Well, this is basically what's happening now, but it's not hitting
us
all at once. It's going to go on a slow pace, the shifting, and we have to learn to work with it and work along with it. And if we go against it, then it's going to be harder for us to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed that British Columbia has become much more hotter and much
mm-hmm.
more tropical, because now there's more people actually growing palm trees
mm-hmm.
in B.C., far more now than, like, we're almost, I guess what you call us Canadian Californians, because we are turning into almost more of a hotter zone. Because
right.
all through the summer, the last summer, we never had as much rain.
Mm-hmm.
We had more heat, more density, and a lot of people are actually quite surprised that we didn't get enough rain, because people used to complain. Those who live in B.C. know that you get more rain than normal, but we didn't get much rain.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So everything's shifting.
Yeah, no, it is. It's I've grown up here my whole life, and I just remember that we used to have a lot of snow in the winter when I was younger, and you know, now the snow has sort of gone away, but when we do have a storm, it seems to really hit hard, and it's a lot more fierce than it once was. And you know, I mean, rain all of a sudden is now a monsoon, and the storm situation is, you know, it's really unusual. And they keep saying that it's a cycle, it happens every so often, but you know, we're seeing it extreme now for the last few years. So I agree that it's something that's going to definitely continue.
They're calling those hurricane winds. I mean,
yeah, well,
try to call hurricane winds. We're getting hurricane winds. That's why our trees are being knocked over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plus also too with the heavy snow, our snow is a wet snow, and so it's breaking the branches off.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Bite off. It just lays there and stays there. It hangs on like a giant ball, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it finally just, the branch can only hold so much weight, and this breaks.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you something. My daughter, she lives out in the Kootenays,
mm-hmm.
and she says that where she lives, when it gets very, very cold, about 40, 50 below, she said the trees there, the trunks of the trees, don't fall over. They explode.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sap freezes
really?
In the stems, and they explode.
Wow.
And she's watched her trees. Like, she's got a lot of land, and she's watched the forestry in her area, and she's watched the trees. She can actually hear them go boom, like exploding, and there's a tree falling. Another one down, another few more feet. Boom, it's coming down.
Wow.
I said to her, you're kidding. She said, no, that's how it would happen. You know,
wow.
So I told it to my wife, and I couldn't believe it. She told it to my wife, and then my wife told me about it, and I went like, wow. I've never heard of a tree explode.
Yeah, no, makes sense, right? I mean, you know, if it's that extreme.
Yeah. What do you think of the theater that you and I went through?
Oh, the Clova?
Yeah.
What did I think?
Investigation.
What did I think of the whole
job?
The whole experience?
Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, it was, you know, it was incredibly, I guess, eye-opening for someone that doesn't really know much about it.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of being a cameraman and in the entertainment industry, it was something that, you know, is visually... it's something that unless you've experienced it, I don't think you can really describe it to anybody, because they either look at you and go, okay, you know, and all the skepticism comes in.
Yeah.
But until they actually experience what it is and how you feel when you're in that type of an environment,
yeah.
It's really something that you have to be a part of, I think, to really take it back and be able to say, hey, you know, okay, there definitely was an incredibly strange vibe there. So, you know, I just remember, what I distinctly remember is that boiler room at the bottom.
Oh, that was wild.
And I just I just remember standing there and looking around me, and I hadn't had that little camera rolling in there, and I just remember I was sort of, I felt not nauseous, but I felt like I was moving on an old box car. Like I was in a train in one of those old box cars in like the 1920s or something like that.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt, and I was even trying to balance. You know how you would be balancing if you were standing in one of those and it's going along the tracks,
yeah.
And kind of rocking back and forth a bit. That's
yeah.
how I felt, and that just really, really blew my mind. I mean, I was like, I was going, okay, I'm not dreaming. This is real. So this is, why am I feeling this is wild. So it's a bit of a ride, that's for sure.
Well, I'm going to shock the heck out of you, because most of that wood that they used to build that building with was actually from an old train station.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And because what they would do back in those years, they wouldn't destroy the whole building. They would actually take all the boards off, and then they would rebuild it to become something else.
Really? Wow.
They would move the wood from one location to the other, so you're probably going through, you were probably experiencing what you thought is an experience of past.
Yeah.
And I went through the same feeling. I was actually in the boiler, when we were in the boiler room, standing in there, and I got one major photograph of orbs all over inside the boiler room, and I know very well there was a murder that took place in that room. And it,
wow.
it really got my attention.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I want to go back in there again. I kept on getting this, like, stay out, go away, yet the girl was calling us back in.
Right.
So you get that reenactment of the death or the murder that took place in there. The guy was somehow threatening, you know, like letting us know this.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the most interesting one was actually the projectionist that had passed away, that he even was trying to talk through the speaker. As we're leaving, he was calling one of the girls back, and he was calling, his voice was coming through the speaker.
Really?
Down in the main floor. Remember, as you're coming.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Speaker on the left side.
Yeah.
There was nobody upstairs. And his voice is coming through the speaker, and she says, "Oh, that's getting creepy. I can hear him talking to me again."
Yeah, that's right.
And we never did get a chance to finish really to stay there longer. I think we would have had even much more of an experience if people weren't, in a hurry to have us to go now.
Right.
I think they were hoping that we'd be there for a couple more hours, or hoping that we could be there just for 2 hours, but we needed more time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the longer we're there, the stronger the energy is between, say, well, midnight to 6 in the morning. That's when it's really strong.
Right.
And being there, we were there to about, what, 2?
Yeah, it wasn't even that long, really.
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, I think, yeah.
That was when you're just beginning to start to get more active. So.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a unique experience. And, you know, there's a lot of shows out there that are in that... in the same genre, and they just really they're intriguing. But what happens is once you've experienced it, you can relate to the show much better. So it's, you know, you look at it and you can go, oh yeah, I know exactly what that person's talking about. I know what that feeling or emotion is.
Yeah.
You know, because they're talking about something that a lot of people would look at and say, you know, they don't believe it, or they just go, ah, that's, you know, that's silly. How can that be? You know, but until you're there and you experience it, or you have it happen to you, that's when it's an eye opening.
Oh yeah.
Thing. So it's really amazing.
Even from,
you know, I've been watching on the news now the last couple of days, these guys on Mount Hood that are lost. So you know, I was really kind of bummed out the last few days that those guys made such a bad decision up there. And I thought to myself, why, you know, would it be that wrong to have some kind of a psychic up there and say, you know, yes, they're up here there somewhere or they're not?
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
I don't know. Is that something that can be, that psychics are able to do if somebody's in that type of situation?
Yeah. Well, Steve, give me a call after we're done the show, because I have to shut her down. It's getting
okay.
Closer.
Great. Yeah, listen, definitely listen. Have a good Christmas. Probably nothing until the new year or so.
Okay.
I will definitely give you a shout.
Okay. Take care.
Okay, Derek.
It's been wonderful talking to you.
All right. Good talking to you. Bye.
Bye. Well, folks, it's time to close. I just realized the time is getting to be past the time. The next show host is ready to be started, so I'll step over. And I'd like to thank everyone for listening in, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys at Christmas time, or talking to you again at Christmas time, around Christmas time, or after Christmas, I believe. And anyways, yeah, have a wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone, and have a wonderful New Year's. And we'll be hearing from you guys come sometime soon. And give me an email. Let me know how things are. And to update me. And anybody who hears the show, please send me an email to let everyone know that you've listened in, so then we can actually put on the website for you and say, here I am, I listened to your show, fantastic, ha, ha, ha. Give me a call, guys. Okay, it's been wonderful. My website is whiteskycloud.com, and if you want to give me a call for anybody who wants to call me for a reading, just go to my website, and I have Pal Talk available. It's been wonderful to have a chat with all of you. And I'm closing in, and so I'd like to also thank, and Merry Christmas to BBS Radio. And to all of you out there, and you guys take care of yourselves, and we'll talk to you next week. This is Derek White Sky Cloud, your psychic medium on Between Two Worlds. Good night, folks.